word to our hearts today, Lord, that you just shape us and mold us the way that we need to be. You know the things that are before us, the things that trouble us, the things that hurt us, the things that we just don't understand, the things that are around us, Lord. Just help us with those and just help us to stay focused on who you are, knowing your goodness in the midst. We just trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 8 as we continue on here. They've closed the door. Only the eight are on the ark, and the animals that were there with them. And they've gone through the 40 days, 40 nights of flood. There's an interesting verse in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2 that says, "In wrath, remember mercy." And in the wrath that was poured out upon the world, he remembered mercy with Noah and those that were with him. And it says that God remembered Noah. It wasn't that he forgot. Oh, yeah, Noah, I remember him from 1,000 years ago. Yeah, he's out there floating somewhere. I got to go see where he is. But God doesn't forget. What it really means is that he began to act on his behalf. He remembered him and began to act on his behalf to change the things that were going on in his life. Remember, he's in the midst of the storm, a picture of Israel in the last days as the church is raptured out off the earth, which could be today, could be any day. We'd like it today. It would be great today to go home to be with Jesus. But the world that's left is going to go through this awful storm, this awful time of wrath. We think it's awful now, and there's teachers out there. Just heard one yesterday speaking about there's always been tribulation on the earth, which is true, but it's not God's wrath. What comes after the church is gone is God's wrath. What's going on now is just man's consequences in man's wrath. This is not God's wrath. This is nothing compared with what God is going to bring upon the world. As he pours out his wrath upon the world. But God remembers Noah. He brings them through this whole time, brings them into this place of just bobbing around. You just wonder, all the mountains are covered. Everything is covered. It says 22 and a half feet above the tops of the mountains. That's a lot of water. A lot of water. And they're just out there bouncing around. And you wonder, it's been a while. And some of you have been bobbing around on the storms of this world for a season, some just for a few days, some for a few months, some for years, just going and realizing the storms that have been around you. The Lord has kept you in the midst, and the Lord has provided for you and kept you, but the ones around you that you care about, that you love, have been awfully just battled and beleaguered with things and events that have gone on in their lives. And you just see the pain and you hurt for them. But we know that God is going to bring you through the midst of this. And that's our focus is, Lord, who are you in the midst of my storm that's going on today? And what should I be doing? And where is my peace and my joy in the midst of this so that I can represent you well to those that are around me? And Noah in this place for a long time, we're going to see that it's going to be over a year that they're on the ark, just confined in that place where they can't move, where there's no escape from it, from the storm that's around them. But he's kept them and he's preserved them. We see a beautiful picture of what God can do in the midst of the storms that are around us. So God starts acting on his behalf, and sometimes we cry out because of the situations that are around us, and sometimes we just think on those things and think that God has just forgotten completely about it, but God is already starting to act on your behalf, starting to act for you, to encourage you, to bring you peace in the midst of your storms, to bring you peace in the midst of those storms of those that are around you, to just bring you through those and to bring you through well. So that you can represent him in the midst of it. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth. Isn't that cool? It wasn't going to happen unless God did it. To even bring the winds to just move the waters aside and to just drain the world of all the water, all the death that was there, all the destruction, and to bring this new time for Noah and his family. And we think, well, Lord, if you bring everything back to normal, isn't that what we've heard for so long now? Is that we just want things to get back to normal from COVID? There is no normal. There's not a normal. But what there is something stable and secure and steady in the midst of it, and that's God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Everything in the world changes. And God is shaking everything under heaven. We see it. Everything has changed. And soon with the new currency that's going to come, the cryptocurrency and everything else that's going on, bye-bye savings, bye-bye money, all your pennies that you've been saving up for 100 years are just going to be melted down to nothing. And we go, Lord, what do we do then? The same thing that we do now. We trust God with the day that we're in. Lord, help me to just trust you no matter what and to know that you're going to take me through. It may hurt. And look at what happens when he comes out. It's not the same normal. He's not going back to the same place he lived at. He's in a whole different place. God has moved him completely, changed everything for him. So where's his focus? It's got to be on God because, Lord, I've never been here before. What do I do? I don't know what's going on here. I don't know the climate. I don't know anything. He goes, I know. It's to help you to trust in me. And isn't that what's going on in the world now? All the things are changing so that we can trust in him, so that we can show the world that we have a focus, we have a place that we can go. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, what? You mean it wasn't the next moment? God made a wind and two minutes later we could go outside? No. 150 days later, the waters were abated. They were taken away. God had made this wind to blow for Noah and his family for their good. And we think, well, Lord, we've got this awful storm out there, and now you're making a wind. It's just going to make it worse. Everything's going to fall down. Everything's completely different, Lord. Why are you making a wind now to blow things around? It's just to make it good for you. You may not see it now, but you're going to see it later. 150 days. They've already been on the ark for a while. It's going to be 371 days as you add these things up that they've been on the ark before they come out. It's a long storm. And we look, Lord, how long has the storm been in my life? And Lord, how much longer is it going to be? But you have to remember that God is thinking of you and remembering you and starting to act on your behalf to not only change your heart, but to change the situations around you. Maybe not for our ways, but for his ways to be known. And that's where we have to focus. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in the midst of this, but Lord, I need to know you. And so it says, the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. Lord, you couldn't set me in a valley. You had to set me on a mountain, so I have to walk down. And isn't that just like us? You know, we'll complain no matter what God does with us. God, you put me here. What good is this place? If God has put us here, it's for a reason. God, you could have put me in Jacksonville, but instead you put me in Rochester. It was weird. The other day when the storm hit and we got all the snow, I texted Tom Kuhman and asked him how he was doing and told him of the snow. And he said, oh, it's only 81 here. I had to repent. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So it took all this time of the wind blowing and moving the waters and just starting that cycle of having the evaporation and everything else take place that they could see the tops of the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 40 more days that Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from all the earth. And also it says in verse 8 that he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. We've got these two birds that he sends up, this raven and this dove. And we know the symbol of the dove. We see it, the symbol of that dove come on Jesus as he's baptized by John the Baptist. We see the Holy Spirit come down as a dove upon him. So we get the picture of what the Lord is doing here. And these are so symbolic because the ravens are not clean animals. They're dirty animals. And so as you see the fowls of the air throughout Scripture, you realize that that's just a picture of the enemy just working and eating up and devouring everything that God has made, but feeding on death. And that's what ravens do. They feed on death. Went by the other day and the snow had melted enough that there was some deer remains on the side of the expressway. And there's the crows and there's the vultures just rah, rah. And just, ugh. How can you eat that stuff? But what a picture this is. Because the dove came back. But what did the ravens do? He never came back. Because he was feeding on the things of the world. He was feeding on the death of the world. And feeding on that and just enjoying that. And he never came back to the boat. Never came back to a place of refuge. Never came back to a place of abiding with God. Remember, God was in the ark. Remember what he said to Noah? When he called him, he said, come in. Come into the ark where I am. He invited him to the place where he was so that he could have communion with him while he was going through the storm that was around him. And he invited him to come in. And he invites you and I to come into that place while we're going through the storms, that we might have his presence in our lives, that we might have his peace and his joy in the midst of a rotten world that was around him. But he opens the window. And the raven goes and starts feeding on the things of death, feeding on those things that were awful, feeding on the pictures that the world wants us to see and the programs that the world wants us to have, feeding on those things and never coming back to a place of refuge where he could have his mind and his heart cleansed from the things of the world that were just trying to destroy him. And that's the place that we have to go once we feel that unsettledness and that place that, Lord, this just isn't right. We need to come back to that place of refuge where we can just be settled before him and just sit with him. Instead of whining and complaining of what was going on, it never says anything that he was whining to the Lord about where the Lord was putting him or what the Lord was doing and why was it taking so long. He was just settled with the Lord in the midst of the ark. Oh, you can pray for me, because I get unsettled easily, way too easily, and it bothers me. Lord, why do I keep getting unsettled? I'm walking with you. I'm supposed to know you. Here I am trying to do something behind this podium, and Lord, I'm more unsettled than half the people that are here. You know, get somebody else up here to do this. He says, nah, you're the one, because I need you there. This is what I've got for you. But boy, he wants us to be in that place because we're all behind a podium of some kind or another, whether we're in the grocery store, whether we're in our jobs, whether we're with our family. We're in that place where we're the ones that are supposed to be stable. And sometimes we look worse than the world. It's just, Lord. And he goes, I know. I'm working on your heart. I want to change your heart. Just like I changed Noah's. To be settled and rested where I was, to be in that place of being still and knowing that I'm God in the midst of the ark. I want to do that with you. But I want to show you the picture here of what I want to do with you and how you can come back and get refreshed. The raven went out and went to and fro. He was just feeding on all the stuff that was out there, all the TV shows, all the news shows, all the stuff on the internet, all the things that were going on. All the games and the gangs and everything else that goes on in the world. And your heart just breaks for those things that are happening. Just thinking of the three girls that got killed at the armory the other night. Just going out for this thing that the world had for them. And yet ended up being killed. That was the last time they were going to be on the earth. We don't know the day or the hour. But what we do know is the God of this world. The God who made this world. The God who keeps us in the midst of this world, that he can keep us and sustain us. But to me, it's just a picture of the ravens were out there just enjoying the things of the world, and all of a sudden, gone. And we don't know how many of us as Christians that we get so unsettled with the Lord and so unsettled in our spirit that we end up going out and listening to the things of the world just so that we can get some satisfaction, so we can get some relief. And all of a sudden we're in a place that we're not supposed to be. And we're feeding on the things of the world instead of getting fed by the things of the Lord and getting washed in the water of the Word. And we end up getting trampled. Doesn't affect our salvation, but it sure affects our witness, doesn't it? Oh, Lord, help. We need your help more and more. The raven stayed out there. But look at what happens with the dove, verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. The dove found no rest. There was no rest in the things of the world. There was no rest in the death of the world. She couldn't rest there. She had to come back to that place where there was refreshment, where there was security, where there was safety, where there was hope, where there was washing and encouragement. And you aren't going to find that in the things of the world. You're only going to find that in the Word of God. You're only going to find that as you commune with the Lord and be settled in Him. No matter how long the storm takes in your life, you can still get refreshed every day. And I need to know that. Remind me, will you? When I get up here and I'm grumpy at you, just yell out, hey, go read your Bible or something. I don't know. So the dove found no rest, found no peace, no place of refuge. So she returned. She returned. Isn't that great? The Holy Spirit puts that in there, and it's so simple and it's so easy, but it's so profound, because sometimes we don't return, do we? We just stay out there thinking, well, it's got to get better. Isn't that what the world keeps telling us? It's going to get better. Really? My Bible doesn't say that. But there is a place that's best, and it's in communion with our Lord. It's not in the place of feeding on the things of the world and listening to all the junk that's going on. It's a place of just being before God and getting refreshed by Him and getting encouraged in who He is. The dove found no rest for her foot, so she returned to that place of safety. And how often do we stay out there and just keep plugging away? Well, I've got to be faithful in what I'm doing. I've got to be faithful in where I am. So we keep plugging away and keep trying to push it. And we find out that we're just listening more and more to the things of the world, and we're not returning to that place that we know is safe, that place that we know is right. But the dove returned to the place that was right, the ark of refuge, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. The waters were still there. The death was still all around them. The consuming of the world was still there, and the dove found no rest in that. She found no rest in the death of the wicked. Found no rest in the avenging of herself on others. She wanted to come back to that place of safety. And this is such a wonderful picture here in the end of verse 9. It says, in Moses in the boat, right? Everybody knows that. Okay, Noah took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. What did God do? Here Noah becomes a picture of our Lord for us, because we return to the ark of our refuge, which is in Jesus. And what does He do? He reaches up and takes her and pulls her in. Isn't that sweet? Because what does the enemy want to do? He wants to strangle you. And dove, one of the meekest of all the animals, Noah reaches up and takes her. And notice she doesn't fly away from him. She knows him well enough to know, this is the one who feeds me. This is the one who takes care of me. This is the one who keeps me. This is the one who's kept me during all this storm. And he takes her. And she allows it. And he pulls her into that place of safety. What does God want to do with you and me? He's holding his hand out so that we will just rest in his hand, so that he can pull us into that place of safety. And that's what the Lord always does. You look through Scripture and you just see these things, and it just really blows your mind in the places where God takes care of all those things for us. And all he wants us to do is just to rest in his hand, so he can pull us into that place of safety, where our minds won't go crazy, where our thoughts won't drive us crazy, where the actions of the world won't drive us crazy. You look at Peter when the disciples were on the lake and the storm came up, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And what did he do? He invited Peter to come be with him. And Peter made it a step or two, which is more than I'll ever make. He had more faith than I'll ever have. But he took a step or two, and then what happened? He started drowning. He saw the stuff around him, started drowning. And what did the Lord do? He reached down and grabbed his hand. What do they tell lifeguards if you have to knock them out because they're going to fight you every inch of the way while they're still trying to save themselves? Jesus didn't have to knock Peter out. He just reached out his hand, and when he reached out his hand, he had Peter's hand, and Peter didn't fight him. Because of God's presence, because of God's peace, because of who God was, there was no fighting there. There was just an allowing, God, you've got my hand, keep me now. And he pulled him up into that place of safety. His hand was reached out like Noah's. When Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem, I'm still jealous about Chris going, because I remember the streets coming down into Jerusalem and not even going to look at her. But coming into that place, he was on the colt, the foal of an ass. Guess what? They don't like to be ridden if they've never been sat on before. If they've not been broken, they will buck and twist and turn and do everything to get you off. What did that animal do? It allowed Jesus to sit on him without any discomfort, without any point of being against him. He allowed him. Jesus held out his hand, grabbed a hold of that colt, and the colt just submitted to God's perfect will. That's what God wants to do with you and I in the midst of our storms, in the midst of this world that's against us, in the midst of this storm that's all around us and it's going crazy. They're getting worse and worse. There's lunatics out there. And we're part of them. We're a little loony, but that's all right. We're good loony, I guess. I don't know if there is such a thing. But he reached out his hand, and the dove settled in his hand. Just a picture of believers who settle themselves into God's hand and let him lead them. And where did he lead them? He took them and he threw them back out the window and said, get out there and do something. No, he grabbed them and he brought them in to a place of safety. What does God want to do with your hurts and your pain that you're going through right now? He wants to take you and to pull you into that place of refuge, that place of safety. And he pulled her into the ark. And look at what it says. He pulled her in unto him, a place of safety. Not just the hand was safe, but in to be nearer to Noah. And isn't that what Jesus wants to do with you and I? To pull us into that place of being closer to him, closer than we've ever been. And sometimes we go through these storms because God wants to draw us closer. And we're fighting them because we see how hard the situation is, and we're just fighting them. We just don't want it. We don't realize what the end result is going to be. The world is going to eat us up and spit us out. Jesus just wants to pull us even closer to him. And sometimes he needs to bring us into that place of being closer to him so that we know his heart better than we did before. And so some of these storms aren't there because we've been bad or we're doing bad things. It's because he wants to bring us closer to him so that we can know his presence even better than we did before. Noah didn't do anything wrong. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was doing everything that God commanded, it says. So then why was the storm around him? Because he wanted to bring Noah to that place of knowing his heart even more than he did before. He'd never been in a storm this big, and he didn't know how to get through it. But God did. And just as God brought him into the ark, Noah then brings the dove into the ark. And that's what's going to happen with you and I. As we know his heart so well, we're going to be able to bring others into that place, in the place of refuge, the place of safety. Because now we know that place even better than we did before. It's deeper than it ever was before. In the days that we're coming to, I think we need to know God's presence more and more and better, not just for ourselves, but for our families, for our neighbors, for those that are around us, so that they can know that there is a place of safety. And he stayed yet another 7 days, verse 10, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. An olive leaf. Amazing. I wonder what that signifies. Like the Mount of Olives, maybe? That place that was going to come into prominence later on with Jesus? Just that symbol of peace, that symbol of a place of peace, of prosperity, of safety. There was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. So peace had come. The dove brought back the symbol of it, But why did she bring it back to Noah? So Noah would know. Look at how God takes care of him. He brings him a symbol that things are settling down. There's peace in this place that you can have with me. Just be settled. The raven never came back, did he? Which I'm kind of glad about, because what would he do? Bring back a hunk of fish that had died in the waters? And here, Noah, look at what I got. Yuck. There's nothing worse than that. It's just, I remember, this is gross, I'm sorry. We live near Ellison Park, and there's a little pond there. And every year, the carp come flowing in there, and then they find out they can't get back out because the waters just slim down so fast that there's no way out. So they get in there, and they're flopping all around, and these are big fish, and what do? They die because they don't have enough to eat. They don't have enough places to go to and deep enough to go to, and so they die. And what happens when they die? They just blow it up. And here's these big, fat things. And I remember one year we were going by, and somebody was out there in a little boat. And of course, I think they took the youngest kid, the newest kid on the block, the summer help, and put him out there in this little dinghy. You got to get the carp out of there. But this is what you got to do to get him out. He was out there, and he's all dressed in the rain gear because it's dirty and ugly. And he had to puncture the fish so the air would all get out, which stunk, and then get him in the boat so he could get rid of him. Awful. Can you imagine the raven bringing back a piece of that to Noah? Hey, look at what I found. You want this? You want the death of the world? What does the dove bring back? An olive leaf. This place of peace that the Lord is going to make for you. This place where the Lord is going to end up praying before his Father to ultimately sacrifice himself. Have peace because I've provided a way for you, because I've got the way for you through this time. And we look at that still, that Israel's back in the land. We know it's prophetic. We know it's just astounding that they even made it back into a land at all after 2,000 years and the Jewish people are still together. And they've been dispersed all over the world and brought back in. And the olive leaf is still there. The provision is still there. And God holds this place, this thing of beauty, this olive leaf, and says to us, I was there. And I gave myself to my Father for you. We're going to get to take communion soon, and just to remember that, just to remember what he's done for. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. It's dry. All right, I can get out. He doesn't get out. It's amazing. What is he waiting for? And in the second month, verse 14, in the 7th and 20th day of the month, this is a whole nother month that's gone by, the earth was still dried. And God, verse 15, spoke to Noah. Noah was waiting for God's instruction on what to do next. I've been in the storm. I can't wait to get out of this storm. What do you and I do? We're so instant. We want things done instantly. You know, we pray and we expect God to answer in the next 4 seconds, or else we go and do something else because, God, you didn't answer me in time, so I'm going to do it myself. Noah didn't do that. Even though he saw the earth was dry, and look at the work he had to do. This guy's 600 years old, and he's taking the covering off the ark. That's a lot of work. Amazing. The strength that God gives somebody to do things that we think we can't do anymore because we're too old or because we're too aged. What we can do is trust the Lord no matter what our age and trust that God's ways are perfect and he's going to provide the strength that we need to get through the times that we're in. God spoke to Noah saying, go forth. He knows when to tell us to go forth. He knows when to tell us to come in. We look at it, verse or chapter 7, verse 1, and it says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So he brings them in. The invitation is there. He says to come in. Now he tells them in chapter 8, verse 16, to go forth. He tells us in Scripture, in Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So he says, come. And what does he say in the Gospel of Mark? Go forth into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He knows when to tell us to come in. He knows when to tell us to go forth. You look at Revelation in chapter 4, he says, come up hither. He knows when to tell us to come home. You look at chapter 22 and it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The invitation is still there for us to come and have fellowship with our God. Come to the place of safety. Come to the place of peace. Come to that place where God is ministering, where he can help you and strengthen you with the trials that you have in the day. He says, verse 16, go forth. It's amazing to me. I would have been out of that ark the first time I saw dry ground. I don't know how to get settled sometimes, and it takes a lot to knock me down, to keep me in that place. But I want to learn, just like Noah. He didn't move until God said so. Even though it seemed like everything's all right, the picture around him, the ground was dry. This is the place I can go to. This is the place that I can be. This is what's going to happen. And he didn't do it because he waited for God to tell him. And what do we do when we pray? Usually for the church, for the natural church, what do we pray for? We pray for ourselves and the stuff that's affecting us, right? And when we don't get an answer right away, it doesn't mean that God didn't hear us. It just means that he's waiting for the right time for the answer to come to us. But are we waiting? Are we able to have that patience to wait for God to speak to us? Oh, and most of us don't know how to do that. Or if we do, we've forgotten. And we're like the ravens. We're out there eating off the things of the world, the death of the world, because God didn't answer us in time, so we're going to go feed. Noah waited. He still had provision on the boat to keep he and the animals provided for. He didn't have to go out. God, as long as you've got me here and you're providing for me, I don't have to go out. That place of the ark of safety for you and I. Go forth out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Come out of that place, get back into the world, and go do the things that I've called you to do. And bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I might have squished a few of them before we got out of the ark, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife's sons with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, and they went forth out of the ark. They came out of the ark. You know what surprises me about this sometimes? Is that the kids didn't clamor to get out of the ark. There was no arguments with Noah about what he was doing. Why can't we go now? I know you guys have taken trips with your kids, or you were the kids once when your parents took you on a trip. And what's the first thing that you said 2 minutes into the ride? Are we there yet? I've been in the car forever. What's going on? And you still got 14 hours to go. Surprise. Evidently, they knew Noah had such a relationship with the Lord that they didn't have to badger him and come at him to get him to say, okay, now's the time. They trusted his relationship with the Lord. Because remember, the Lord was speaking with Noah. He wasn't speaking with the kids. And evidently, they trusted Noah enough that when it was time, we could do it. And what do? Jesus, it's time for you to come. But you see, he has enough of a relationship with his Father to know that when his Father says, it's time to go get your bride, he's going to go do that. And it's our part as the kids, like Noah's kids, to not badger him about it and to say, Lord, whenever your time is, it's okay with me. Just help me to be faithful until you say it's time to change and it's time to go. We spend way too much time badgering the Lord for things that we don't even need. Instead of just being still before him and trusting him that, God, you've got it in control. You've got this. I know you do. I know you know what's going on in my life. I know that you know how to take care of me. My poor honey's still sitting at home, and she's been out 3 weeks now, and she is going crazy. You should probably take this off the tape. I don't want her to listen to this. I keep doing this. I got to shut my mouth sometimes. But sometimes we just got to sit still and know, God, I know your time is right. Whenever you say it's right, then I'll be able to go and I'll be able to do it the whole way and not just part of the way and just fold and not have enough energy to do it. It's just so sweet the way the Lord orchestrates our whole life. Noah didn't want to be in a storm any more than you and I want to be in our storm. But he knows when to take us in and he knows when to bring us out. And he knows how much peace we need to stay in the midst of it and to still be okay. So Noah built an altar. They come out of the ark. They come to that place. The first thing Noah does is he builds an altar. He doesn't say, look at these flowers, look at this grass, look at this stuff, look at these things. He doesn't go around searching and trying to figure out what to do next. He just gets out. God, you told me to come out of the ark, and I just want to worship you in this place. Because, Lord, you've kept me for a year plus in this place. And what do we say? We say, Yahoo, I'm free. And we go crazy, right? What did Noah do? He built an altar, and he worshiped the Lord. God, you had me in a storm for over a year. I just want to worship you because you got me through it. And how often do we do that? Or do we just say, thank you, I'm free, and we just go on our way? This is a momentous thing. This is a whole new place, a whole new thing. And what Noah does is he builds an altar to worship and to praise the Lord for his safekeeping and for the keeping of his family and for the keeping of the things that God had entrusted him with, because he knew it wasn't him that did it. It wasn't because he was a great shipbuilder. Remember, there was no need for ships. There was no ships. He built the first boat. How did he know it was going to come on the water? He didn't even know what a boat was supposed to do. It was because God kept him, and God gave him instruction all the way through on how to do this. And so this is the time, and you and I, as you go back through your life, you know that when you first got saved, when you first realized that Jesus was Lord and Savior, that's a place of altar building, where you built an altar and praised the Lord and worshiped him for it. And the first time he answered a cry of your heart in a prayer, as he answers those, you build an altar and said, thank you, Lord, that you built an altar for me, that you answered my prayer, that you saved me, that you heard me, and I know that you love me. And as we go through our life, we remember that we have those places of altars that we've built because God has done something in our life to change us. And we know that those changes were good. And so we build an altar and thank him for it. It doesn't mean that we have to stay there in that place of altar building. But as we go through our life, there should be those times where we remember, God, you've answered. Even if it doesn't look like something that I wanted, you kept me through. What does Psalm 23 say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And what do you do at the end of it when he brings you out? You build an altar and you thank him for what he's done. It may not be a physical altar, but it's an altar of remembrance. God, you've done this in my life. I just want to worship you because you're worthy. You know what we're going to do when we get home to heaven? There's a worship service, an altar. You're going to remember, God, you got me through the whole world and brought me home to heaven. And you said you were going to. I just want to worship you because you did. These altars are just previews of what's to come. Can you wait for that worship service? It could go on for a long time because eternity's without time. It could go on forever and we aren't going to care. Bill, you sung 5 songs. You don't need to sing any more songs. We don't need to worship anymore. We're going to be singing for 100 years before we even get done with the first song. What are you going to do then? Oh, let's have another one. Because it's going to be that sweet, because it's going to be that good, because you're in his hands and he's pulled you into a place of refuge while the wrath is going out upon the rest of the world. He's the one that's done it. You didn't do it. Your family didn't do it. The church didn't do it. Jesus did it. And he's holding out his hands to you today. They're nail scarred. And we remember what he's done for us. We build an altar as we come to that place. Thank you, Lord, that you kept me and took care of me. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. The Lord was aware of what Noah was doing. It was a sweet savor, not because of the animals that were killed and sacrificed, because of Noah's heart, because he thought of God first and foremost. That's the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, so the seasons are now established, day and night shall not cease. He's not going to add to the curse on the ground anymore. There is going to come a time where the world is going to go, but he's not going to flood the world anymore. We're going to see that as we go on, as we come through. But what a sweet picture this is of what the Lord is doing with you and I. We're in a storm of this world, and God is the refuge, and Jesus is the one holding out his hand to you. You can't come in encumbered by so much stuff of the world, because you can't get into his hand with all that stuff. It's just big enough for you with nothing attached. And so today, just think of those things that you've been encumbered with, that you've been out feeding on the world with, whether it's anger or bitterness or hurt or frustration or fear. There's so much fear in the world right now, and the church is in a lot of fear, but we don't have to be. We can be in that place where we can remember that God has held out his hand so that we could be drawn into a place of safety and security and rest before he sends us out. He's inviting us still to come. And whatever hurt you have, just cry out this morning. We're going to take communion and just think about those things. Just hold on to those things and just trust that God is going to do that work. And God wants to do that work. And so just come to him with whatever's on your heart that you've been holding back, that you've been wandering from, been feeding on the death of the world with, and just trust him in the midst of it, and trust him to know, thank you, that he has that way for you to get through this time that you're in. So let's just pray and just think about those things. Cry out to the Lord in the midst and just have that way.